Good morning. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. It's good to be here. Good to be back. Arlene and I have been away for a while. We had a vacation, and it was awesome. We had a great time. Although I will say this, somebody kind of, you know, this morning I came in first service and I saw, you know, a friend here, and I said something about it's great to be back, and he was like, "Were you gone?" Dude, I haven't preached for the last 2 weeks. It's like, I hadn't noticed. You know, I mean, do Don and I look that much alike? You know, that you can't, no. it is great to be back, though. It's nice to go away. It really is nice to go away and to be refreshed. Arlene and I had a great time. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that where we were, it was 88 and sunny the whole time. Okay, it wasn't here, was it? And but it's nice to be back. It's always nice to come home. It's nice to go away, but it's great to come home when you got a good situation, a good family, and good friends, and good work, and it's just awesome. And it's nice to go, but it's even nice to come back as well. Well, let me kind of bring myself up to speed as much as bringing you up to speed, okay? Several weeks ago, we started asking this question about what do I believe, and we've looked at 10 great doctrines of the church, things about God, things about salvation, things about the Bible and our identity, and all these other subjects that were really, really important. 2 weeks ago, Don talked to you about eternity. Did a great job in that. I want to thank him for filling the pulpit, talking to you about eternity. And then last week, we switched gears, and we switched from what do I believe to what should I do. Okay, and for the next 10 weeks, then we're talking about these wonderful spiritual disciplines of a believer. Last week, Mike talked to you about worship. Did a fantastic job. I appreciated Mike filling the pulpit so adequately, so well there last week, talking to you about worship. And now today, I'm going to switch gears and talk to you about the second great activity that Christians need to be participating in, and that is this idea of prayers. You know, people have always said about how tragic it is that prayers are no longer allowed in school. Let me tell you something. As long as there are tests, there will be prayer in schools, okay? It may not be over the loudspeaker, but listen, that's the thing about prayer. Prayer is not limited to someone's given the right to pray or given the opportunity to pray. Prayer is just this beautiful, simplistic conversation with God. You know, sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we don't get it so right, like the 3-year-old little boy named Reese, who prayed, was impressing his mom and dad about learning the Lord's Prayer. And he said, "Our Father who does art in heaven, hallowed is your name." Right? You know, kids are so great. Did you hear about the little boy who was overheard praying, quote, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am." You know, we can be honest in our prayers because God knows our thoughts even before we speak them. I love this. When the Sunday school class, they were studying the Ten Commandments. They were almost finished. They were actually on the last commandment. They were ready to discuss it, and the teacher asked, who can tell me the last commandment? One little girl raised her hand. She stood up and said, "Thou shalt not take thy covers from thy neighbor's wife." My favorite one, though, was a little boy trying to recite that part of the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "And forgive us our trash buckets as we forgive those who put trash in our buckets." And you know, while that might be funny and might not be totally accurate, I think he was dead on, wasn't he? Because really, that's what we do. I love the one about, did you hear the one about the wife who invited some people to dinner? They were there at the table, and she turned to their 6-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing, sweetheart?" You know, and how little girls are. She said, "I wouldn't know what to say." She told her mom that, I wouldn't know what to say. And the mom said, "Well, just say what you hear mommy say." And the little girl bowed her head and she said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" You know, we learn a lot from kids, don't we? Did you know that prayer is the only thing, it's the only thing that God's people, the children of God, the disciples, ask Jesus to teach them to do? I think the reason for that is that they saw him talk to his Heavenly Father. And I think they saw the connectedness, they saw the intimacy, they understood the relationship there, and they desired that. And I don't know about you, but that's exactly where I am today as well. I desire that. I love this key idea. Key idea says, I pray to God to know him. I pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my request before him. You know, here it's up on the screen. Let's say that together. Can you join me? I pray to God to know him. There it is. I pray to God, join me. I'm sorry. Okay, let's rewind it here. Would you say this with me, please? Let's say it together. I pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my request bare before him. That's what prayer is. It's this wonderful invitation to have this intimate conversation with God about life, about your life, and about the life that he wants you to live. Key verse, Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. I love it. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Beautiful verse. Have you ever realized this when you study the Bible and you see what it has to say about prayer? There's an instance in the Bible where Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still. And it did. For an entire day. There's another instance in the Bible where Daniel prayed and starving lions suddenly went on a diet. There's a story about Jonah, and Jonah prayed and God sent a great fish, and the fish swallowed him and carried him to safety and to shore to get him back on track in his relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I read all these instances in the Bible about how people prayed and marvelous things would happen. And then I think about all the times in life that I've prayed and nothing happened. I remember one time when I was in high school, I prayed, we were going to be facing our arch rivals in football, and I said, God, give us strength to pull out this awesome victory, and I'll honor you. Halftime, 42-0. We finally lost 52-0. Okay. I mean, have you ever had that happen where you just prayed and you wanted to agree, or you wanted God to agree with you? You know, you read in the Bible, whatever you do, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father, you may ask for him for anything in my name, and I will do it. And then we pray, and nothing happens. I remember when I was 10 years old, I had a school teacher. His name was Mr. Bailey. He was he was my gym teacher in elementary school, and he was such a nice man. He was a good man. He was involved in a terrible auto accident there near our home, and he was hanging on to life. And I prayed, God, make him well. Make him whole. I knew he had a young wife. I knew he had a little baby. And I thought, God, surely you will want and you will help this man to live. And he died. And I remember being disappointed with God. That I would pray such a noble prayer as a 10-year-old boy and not receive that which I thought was so very appropriate to ask God for. I've known young people that wanted a baby more than anything in the world. And there's been times in my ministry where I've prayed with young couples who were wanting to have a baby, and I've prayed that God would give them that beautiful blessing. And it didn't happen. I mean, I've seen people that were so sick and so injured and so hurt in life, and loved ones say, you know what, Pastor, pray for this person that they will be well. And they died. I've seen children, I've had children ask me to pray for their parents because their parents were fighting and they didn't want them to get a divorce. But yet they did. It turned ugly. And I'm sure that you can recount with me countless times where we've conversed with God and poured out our heart and that and shared with Him what we wanted, and it didn't happen. Well, I want to help you with that today. I want to answer the question of why God doesn't sometimes answer our prayers the way that we think that He should. Why no answer? Well, first thing, I want you to check your relationship. And I want you to ask yourself, is this relationship broken? Because there's times in the Bible, there's instances in the Bible where because the relationship was broken, the prayers were hindered. Mark chapter 11 says very forthrightly, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in heaven, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. In other words, he's saying that if you're praying to God for something and you realize that you have this other thing that's wrong in your life, go make that other thing that's wrong in your life right, so that you can bring your request to God. You know, God's word is it so strongly states that we cannot say that we love God when we hate our brother. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that if we're standing at the altar and we're about to give our gift and we realize that we have something against our brother, to go and make that which is wrong with our brother right and then come back and give our gift. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them as with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Think about that, guys. There's an instance here that's saying that our relationship with our wife, how we care for our wife, how we love our wife, how we serve our families will in some way hinder our prayers. If that is not right, you see, maybe, just maybe, if we're here today and we can recount all these times when we've laid these petitions before God and things have not happened the way that we thought that they should happen, maybe the relationship is broken. Sometimes I think that we're like our relationship with God, that we're like kids fighting in the back seat of a car. Do you remember this? I remember my kids when they were young, you know, we'd go on a trip and all of a sudden Sarah would say, Mom, Dad, Kristen is touching me. I'm not sure when that became such an egregious offense for siblings, you know, that they would have the audacity to actually touch you. But it's like, come on, Sarah, you know, okay, let's split the back seat right down the middle. Kristen, this is your half. Sarah, that's your half. And all of a sudden, Kristen's saying, Dad, Sarah came across the line. Right? I mean, we think that people invade our space, disrespect us, that people just do these terrible, egregious things to us in life. And we say, you know what, life isn't fair, life is not right. And all of a sudden we realize that the relationship is broken. I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you to come into my space. And sometimes I think that we're like that with God. You know, God, I want you to be here. You know, for example, you know, when my kids were younger, they were always fighting and bickering until one of them had something that the other one wanted. Okay, and all of a sudden they want to play nice. You know, will you share with me or whatever? I kind of think that's the way we are with God sometimes. You know, we just love God. We are serving Him. We're reaching out to Him. As long as He's like giving us everything that we think that we want, everything that we think that we need, everything that we ask for. But all of a sudden, things don't happen just the way that we think that we should. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, maybe there's a broken relationship. Or let me tell you something else you need to check. I think also you need to check your motives. You need to ask yourselves, are my motives correct? James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasure. You know, it's like guys, when you were a teenager and you see that beautiful young lady and you're like, God, please introduce her to me. Right? What's your motives? You know, God, give me the winning lottery numbers, and I'll give you half of it. Right? What's your motives? You know, I remember when Sarah went to school and she was so concerned about having friends and, you know, making friends and having people that would like her. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, you're not going to have one iota of a problem making friends. You know why? Because you have a car. Right? I remember when I went to college, it was like, dude, if you had it, and I didn't, but I sure made sure that I was surrounded with friends that did. Right? A lot of times we think of what's our motives. What are we wanting out of this? Jesus' harshest criticisms were for those that were doing the right things for the wrong reasons. He talked about the Pharisees who stood on the street corner and prayed so they could be seen by people. You know, are you asking God to bless your business, but yet not willing to be generous, not willing to tithe? You're asking God to do these kinds of things to bless you, but yet in your heart, your motives are dark. Proverbs chapter 16 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. You see, folks, as your pastor and your friend this morning, I need to tell you that God knows your motives. God knows every reason that brought you to this place today. God knows every word that you speak in prayer before you speak it. God knows what your end game is. God knows. So sometimes, instead of just stepping back and saying, why isn't God doing what I think that He should do? Maybe we just need to check and make sure that our motives are correct. Make sure that our motives are pure. Here's another one. Why no answer? Maybe you need to check your faith. I mean, maybe you need to answer whether or not you really believe that God will. Mark chapter 9 says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us if you can, said Jesus. Everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. I don't care who you are, what your situation is in life, whatever is within God's will, that it is possible for you. Whatever impossibility that you think is before you, it's not impossible with God. Over and over and over again, God's word teaches us this exact thing. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, folks, we have to understand, we have to believe that God will and God can do and answer our prayers. Here, let me give you one more. Check your future. I mean, just maybe God has something totally different than what you have in mind. 1 John chapter 5 says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we ask of Him. But you see, folks, we have to understand, we have to look in our future. We have to look down the road, and we have to realize that maybe, you know, not maybe, but that God understands every moment of the future. It might be cloudy to us. It might be unknown to us. It might be a worry for us. But God already knows. So when we ask of God, when we pray to God, when we ask Him to do something, and it doesn't turn out maybe just the way that we think it should, I think we just need to understand, we just need to believe, we just need to have confidence that maybe God has something different in mind. You know, there's this idea out there called the name it and claim it. I don't think it's a very good way to look at life. Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove the thorn from his life. 3 times. 3 times Paul prayed that God would remove this thorn from him, and God never took it away. And Paul came to the point that what? He said he understood that God's grace was sufficient for him. You know, you see, where we think that God's ultimate concern is our comfort, we need to come to understand that God's ultimate, that he is our faithfulness. Not our comfort, but our faithfulness in him. You know, we do things like, you know, we pray for a house and it doesn't work out, and we wonder, why didn't God do that? Well, maybe God has something else in store. We pray for a job and it doesn't work out, and we think, you know, why didn't God do that? Well, maybe God has something better in store. You know, I think it can even go down to the point of God, this is the person that I want to marry. Please, and it doesn't work out. Well, maybe God has something better in store. I think I've actually told you this story some time ago, but it bears repeating. I dated this girl in high school, and she broke my heart. I mean, she really did. She broke my heart. When, wherever you are, you broke my heart. She knows she did. And I remember sitting in my room and listening to Hotel California over and over and over again. That's how bad it was. Okay? Now I finally got over that and I moved on, and Arlene and I met, and we got married, and I don't know, we'd been married, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, I guess, and we went back to my hometown, and we went to a high school football game. And there at that high school football game, I ran into this young lady. You know, this girl, Wynn. And she was married. She had some kids with her. And here's Arlene. And it was so weird because it was just this moment in time. I wanted to get down on my knees and say, thank you so much. Right? Because honestly, that was the worst thing that had ever happened in my life at that moment. That was the best thing that ever happened in my life from that moment on. It's just understanding that sometimes, because we can't see into the future, God has something better in store than even what we are asking him for. So check your future. You know, there's a great example in the Bible from the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Let me give it to you here. It says, if we're thrown into the... this is Daniel... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, talking about the fiery furnace. Said, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Now let me highlight some verses, some words from this. God's able. You see, they understood that God is able. Do you understand that? I mean, do we really realize that our God is able? He's able to deliver us. He's able to deliver us from it. He's able to bring us through it. He's able to help us rise above it. He's able to help us overcome it. He will deliver us, is what they said. He will deliver us. But look at this final word. But even if he doesn't. Even if he does not, we want you to know that we're not going to serve your gods. What a great example of how to live your life by faith in God. Praying to him, pouring out your heart to him, knowing that he is able, knowing that he is willing, believing that God can, believing that God will, but even if he doesn't, that you will still believe. I believe God can, I believe God will, but even if he doesn't, I will still believe. And folks, when we understand that, and when we accept that, it is a beautiful way to live. Because you know what? When you need strength, you ask God to give you that strength, and he gives you that strength. And even if you continue to feel weak, he will make you strong. His grace will be sufficient through those difficult times of life. When you pray, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to make the right choices and to do the right thing. Help me to solve the problems in my life. He will give that to you in abundance. But even if the choices are not totally clear to you, He will walk with you and beside you every moment of every day. When you pray and ask God for courage to overcome the obstacles and the dangers in life, He will be there with you, helping you to make the correct choices. But even when you don't make the correct choices and things kind of go off the rails for a while, He'll help you to get right back on there. I guess, folks, what we really just need to understand is that we don't always get everything that we want. But in a relationship with God, we get everything that we need. And when we have everything that we need, you know, it is a beautiful, it is a wonderful, it is a marvelous place to be. But all along the way, you've got to trust in Him. You know, this became so evident to me just this past week. Arlene and I were on our way home last Sunday, actually. And we'd had a great week away. And we were one flight away from being home. You know how it is when you go away? We were really looking forward to our own bed, right? You ever had that experience where you go and you just are looking forward to getting back home in your own bed? Well, we got to the airport in Miami, Florida, and we're sitting at the gate a couple hours away from our departing time, and all of a sudden I looked up on the screen and it said, flight canceled. You know, and after a week of vacation, you know, you're looking forward to getting home. It's like, oh, this is going to be harder than it's supposed to be. And we had a flight back to Philadelphia and then a commuter flight back to State College. And Don had graciously put our car at the airport there, is waiting on us. And flight canceled. So I went up and I'm talking to the lady. And she said, you know, yeah, I'm really sorry. There's a maintenance issue with the plane. And, you know, we can do one of two things, okay? She said, We can put you up in an air motel here in Miami, fly you out early tomorrow morning, make your connection, get to State College Monday afternoon about 3 p.m. Or if you want to fly to Philadelphia tonight, and we can put you up there because you're not going to make your connection to State College in Philly tonight, but we'll put you up there. You can leave early in the morning, get home Monday morning about 10:30, I think it was. I said, okay, I'll do that. So they put us on a plane, and we flew to Philadelphia. We, after having to go somewhere else and fly to Philadelphia, anyway, we get to Philadelphia. It's kind of late in the evening. The last flight's already left to go to State College, and I go to the ticket counter like the lady had told me. I tell them my story, and she said, I'm not giving you a room. Who told you that? I said, Miss A. Cortez in Miami, Florida, the American Airlines, told me this. So, no. Anyway, you know, and here was the thing, okay? We'd had this long day, you know. Anyway, I was like, and Arlene's like whispering in my ear, you know, to be calm and to be, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, and I was trying to be that. And here was the thing, though. It was like, no, we can't do that. And then they didn't have our luggage. They never even put our luggage on the plane. And it was just a fiasco. And it got to this point where it's like, okay, let's just rent a car. Rented a car in Philadelphia, drove home to Altoona, and, you know, I was going to get the car whenever. But anyway, so we ended up actually driving to State College, picked the car up, finally got home, 5:30 in the morning. On Sunday morning. Now, I'd gotten to the airport at about 7 o'clock that morning. No, it was about 8 o'clock that morning. Okay, and 23 hours later, I'm finally home. But you know what? When I laid down in that bed that I was looking so forward to, all that disappeared, and I just thanked God for the blessings of life. You see, folks, it is so easy to be derailed by the things that happen to us in life that we don't even appreciate the presence of God in our lives. And we have to overcome that. And know that regardless of what we go through, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what comes our way, God can, God will, and even if He doesn't, I'm still going to be faithful. That's what prayer is all about. Understanding that God can, appreciating that God will, but even when He doesn't, checking ourselves and knowing that maybe God has something totally different in store for us. I think it was Jesus, matter of fact, I know it was, who prayed and He said, "Father, if You're willing, take this cup from Me, but yet not My will, but Yours be done." Can you pray? Can you join me in knowing that that's the prayer that God wants us to make? John chapter 9, verse 31 says, "We know God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will." One final thing, and that's just simply this. You want to check something? Check and make sure that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, a lot of people don't even realize that the Bible says that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly men who do His will. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't think God is hearing you, and maybe it's simply because you don't have a relationship with Him at all. And if you don't, all you have to do is reach out to Him with a very simple prayer of, "God, save me from my sins, forgive me of my sins, and make me whole and well in You." And then enjoy a lifetime of this beautiful thing called a relationship with the Creator and Maker of all that there is. And I just pray that we will realize that God can, God will, and even when He doesn't, we still can believe in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a great privilege it is to just stop and pause and to pray to You. That, Lord, even when life is tough and difficult, even when life gets derailed, that, Lord, we can just pause and we can know, Lord, that You're with us and that Your will is going to be done. So I pray, Lord, that every person in this room this morning could check themselves and could check, Lord, their relationship, make sure it's not broken, that they can check their motives, Lord, make sure that they're right, that they're pure. Check their faith and make sure, Lord, that they know who You are and what You're able to do. That, Father, we can just look inside ourselves and realize that, Father, maybe You have something totally different, totally better for us in our future. But, Lord, may it all begin simply because we pray that prayer of asking You into our hearts, and that we trust You, Lord, to save us and to make us whole in You. So, Father, I pray that every person in this room this morning either has had that simple conversation of being born again and of finding salvation in You, or, Lord, that they can find that even today as they seek You. Because, Father, we know that Your promise is that when we seek You with our whole heart, that we'll find You. That You'll come in, Lord, and live inside each of us. Thank You, Father, for the wonderful blessing, the beautiful privilege of praying to You and knowing, Lord, that You hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.